Hey everybody, Michael Gunger here. Hope you're enjoying your new year so far. Season 5 is going to be coming to you in a couple more weeks here. But in the meantime, we thought we'd drop a little bonus episode about the tour that we're going to be going on very soon here. It starts February 18th. It's called the End of the World Tour, and it's with my band Gunger, Lisa and I, along with The Brilliance and Propaganda. We're going to start out in Hope College in Holland, Michigan on February 18th. We're going to Chicago on the 19th, Columbus, Ohio on the 20th, Atlanta on the 22nd, Nashville on the 23rd, Oklahoma City, which is a brand new show that just got announced, on the 25th, February 26th in Austin, 27th in San Antonio, 28th in Houston, March 1st in Waco, and March 2nd in Dallas. Also, we just announced a West Coast second leg that starts at the end of April, April 25th in Seattle, 27th in Portland, 29th in Chico, California, the 30th of April in Petaluma, California, May 1st in San Francisco, May 2nd, San Luis Obispo, May 3rd, Ventura, California, May 4th, Ramona, California, and finally May 6th at the El Rey Theater in Los Angeles, California. We're super excited. You can get tickets if you go to gungermusic.com/tour. Gunger is spelled G-U-N-G-O-R, music.com/tour, but a good place to hear some music, have some fun, meet some other liturgists. And this podcast that you're going to hear today, we were actually all in Los Angeles, all meaning all the three bands, and Mike was around too. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to have a fun conversation about music and spirituality and all the weird stuff that we love to talk about around here at the Liturgists, but with some of the people you've heard on this podcast and loved before, but all in the same room. This was a fun and silly conversation, so I hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back with season 5 in a couple weeks. Much love, everybody. All right, we're here. We're coming to you from the Liturgist worldwide headquarters of the backyard.
Yes. That sounds so Pentecostal.
The biggest table in the smallest room possible.
How many tables can you fit in a team? Like, what, 300 square feet?
Yeah, about that. And the answer is 4 rolling tables.
3.5 adults.
Because
did you like that math that I did there?
This is, I like
I was impressed with myself.
It's we did it because Michael and I don't like sitting close to people. We got this table to record with 4 people at once.
I'm going to share your burden with you there, Mike. Even though I'm not going to say that's a 50-50 burden.
You guys, like, here's the question. Do you hug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hug?
Oh, yeah. You do hug.
Front?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Pretty intimately.
Back hugs?
What's a back hug?
Do you guys do you guys cuddle?
No.
No. We do, however.
Have you ever spooned?
We do sit in Korean spas together.
Have you spooned?
No.
No.
Have you spooned with John?
No.
You
have to. But sometimes the closer, the more intimate the man, you don't touch.
I'm with you on that. I probably have spooned with a man before.
I've spooned with many men, but John, it'd be too intimate.
David, it's not a surprise that you've spooned with many people.
I'm not spooning with Prop right now.
Not sexually.
Not sexually spooning.
Oh.
Why?
But genitals, but like, on ass.
No, I'd cuddle. I'd like, kind of. I'd watch. Like, come, like, here. Like, now, I'd just be like, I'm cuddling up next to him.
No, David, you've done it with me, and I enjoy it.
I have spooned with you so many times.
It was okay.
Terrence and I have gotten close.
All right, this is hard to listen to because there's so many voices, so let's go ahead and say our names. Yes. We've got 3 bands in the room.
And well, half.
7 individuals, one of who is not here yet, but I'm counting him as though he will be here soon.
His presence.
I am Mike McCarg, bass player and background vocals for Abraham's Bosom.
4 bands. Pardon me. 4 bands.
Abraham's Bosom.
That's our band. You've never heard.
Have
our,
you not heard?
Is
Amazing
Abraham's
Tracks?
Bosom opening for all of us?
Oh my gosh, Abraham's Bosom.
All right, next.
Oh, this already exists.
Oh yeah, we played.
Live.
Wait.
We played live. So we did that live in Austin, Texas, thinking, what's a liturgist crowd? Everybody's in on it. I think a third of them weren't on it. And then the other two thirds thought we were opening with a worship song.
Is the track available in the back?
Well, and we put the graphic of a guy on the mountain with his hands up.
Yeah.
Worshiping.
Some people thought it was real.
Hillary was playing violin. But they were like afraid because this is not like a worship music crowd. It wasn't like, yes, finally worship the liturgist.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, wait, what are they doing?
This is such an okie doke.
Kind of sounds like the War of the Worlds like moment radio show.
Yeah, that was.
Oh my God, you really think Martians are coming?
That's definitely what happened.
No, we're just kidding, guys.
So that was a very long introduction for One Voice. It's always on the podcast, so we'll keep it going around the room.
My name is Propaganda. I do hip hop and poetry, and I'm a part of the Liturgist Podcast Network. I'm going to plug my podcast.
On the Red Couch Podcast.
Red Couch Podcast.
Wait, now, is the Red Couch Podcast, what network is that a part of?
If you're not familiar, it's a part of the Liturgist Podcast Network. Season one was with Relevant. We had a full season, season two, with the Liturgist, and we just started season three. But thank you for keeping up. we're continuing the shame. We're all going on tour, guys.
You called Lisa Shade Ninja the other day.
Yes,
I think you're like Shade Sensei.
Hey, just my name's David Gunger. Prop, I love you, and
love you
I'm
too,
sorry.
Man.
I'm just trying to keep it real, and I've never listened to one of your podcasts. But I need to. However, I'm going to become a patron. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to become a patron for your podcast.
Wow, I appreciate
that's nice.
Too.
Yeah.
What band are you part of? David's my older brother.
Michael says that because I'm bald. Which Michael would have been bald without science years ago as well. However.
Are you not his older brother?
No, I'm his younger. Are you seriously throwing that much shade at me?
I don't know y'all's birth order. I just don't know it.
How much older or younger do you think I am than Michael?
No.
I'll take out my hat right now.
How much older or younger?
Just take a guess. If you get it on the dot, I'll give you $100.
How many? Oh, okay. Wait a minute.
So let's make a play here.
David is all about the money. I love this.
Are you saying how many years apart?
Yeah, you got to get the exact time apart.
You guys are 2 years apart.
So you're not getting $100.
You guys are 5 years apart.
Six, right?
6 years apart?
Yeah.
Me and my sister are 6 years apart.
Young, are you the older or the younger?
I'm the younger.
Yeah, I'm the younger too. Mm-hmm. So I'm the younger Gunger, and I am not the youngest. We got a sister.
She was a host of the Liturgist podcast.
Wow, she's
which is
still
a network
a host.
You're on if you've ever listened to the podcast.
Which are,
but the thing is, though, I feel like I find out a new sibling every time I talk to y'all.
So
they're still being born.
Our podcast, the Brilliance Podcast, has also been on. Has been on the Liturgist.
You didn't know he had a podcast? I knew that.
You aired one of our podcasts on your podcast twice.
David, I'd just like to take this time to say I knew you had a podcast.
So first of all, you didn't even know. First of all, Prop, you acting like I'm surprised what network you're on. You don't even know I have a podcast. So
when
get
is the last
my face.
Time you posted a podcast?
November.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. I'm a big fan of the Brilliance.
Yep.
I am.
Yeah, so, hey, I appreciate you. I'm a fan of both of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of both of you. It's a lot of fans here. And then we've got, this is a very special person in the room because this person has played music for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like for years and years and years. So you're your own artist. Who are you?
Oh, man. Thank you for that. That was kind. This is Terrence Clark here. Terrence F. Clark. Yeah.
Stands for fucking.
What? Yeah. Terrence F. Clark, I will play with anybody dope who has enough money.
I like that.
That's right.
I like that.
That's right.
Okay.
Better preach.
Listen, he's a capitalist.
Oh, man. This tour, I'm super geeked and excited. It's like a big family reunion. All three of you all are like some of my favorite artists and very prolific in everything you all have ever done. It's been amazing to be part of the journey and the story and to watch you all grow and do very just amazing things. Y'all have definitely changed my makeup and how I think about things or not being afraid to talk about stuff that I just didn't understand or I didn't care to understand. It's like Michael used to always challenge me. Like, yeah, I think you asked me a question one time we were in China. We were just on a train and you were like, hey, man, what do you think about evolution? And I looked at you like you were crazy. I said, I don't, bro. Like I was like, and he was like, why so aggressive? I'm like, I don't think about that, bro. Like, I was just barely like trying to figure out where I come from. It challenged me to think beyond what I think about, you know, it was like, you're clearly able to think about a lot of things and you should, but it really pushed me in a direction to be more enlightened. So I appreciate that for sure. And we had a lot of conversations. And when I first met Science Mike, he came on the bus and I was like, I don't want to talk to that dude. Like, you know, I was in my bunk. I was like, man, who is
Terrence
this guy?
Terrence gets in his bunk.
Yeah, I get in my bunk and I'm like,
dude, after literal and proverbial.
Yeah, after a show. But yeah, but like, y'all are my favorite people on planet Earth and the cosmos in general, man. Like, I really appreciate y'all. Like, y'all are amazing.
Wow, we love you, Terrence.
Yeah, thank you.
You toured with us before we had any kids at all.
Yeah, I toured with y'all when you were in a minivan. Yeah.
You toured with us when Beautiful Things
first played. Kinda hit.
Played in the bunk for hours because that's how Amelie went to sleep at night.
Yep.
And you guys didn't know where the song was playing at. And so it played throughout the whole night while Michael and I slept in the hotel room.
I also was the first black man to babysit Amelie. I don't know if anybody's done it before, since, but I was the only first.
I was also the only black man.
I was the first only black man to ever like babysit a white kid.
Yes.
Yes, man.
It was kind of scary, man. Like, it was scary.
I remember
you
that.
You remember that?
I remember that.
Like, we're going to go shoot this video.
We were shooting a video
in the middle of the field out here in Amsterdam, so somewhere out there. And that kid just sat on the floor looking at me like, what's
chill?
Yeah. But it was amazing, though. It was a bonding moment.
We didn't use that video because my hands look like zombie hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it was a good picture. I remember the picture from it.
Lisa.
Yeah, Dave.
Incredible. I love you. You are, and I say this as my sister, you are beautiful.
I'm getting
you
ready.
Are wonderful.
I'm getting my
you
heart
are so
ready.
Wonderful. I still think you have zombie hands.
I know.
I just joking. Kate has, like, the same thing happened where they get really dry hands if they're in specifically, like, Denver, cold mountain
cold, dry.
Weather.
But
they
I have old-looking hands. You know, it's fine. I embrace oldness.
I don't think so.
Terrence thinks.
I don't think your hands are old.
I think actually, can I tell you, they don't look at all like zombie hands.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, who are you?
I'm Lisa Gunger. Yeah.
That's it. The Shade Ninja.
I need no introduction on this podcast, nor in any other forum.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it a couple times, but the three bands, unfortunately, Abraham's Bosom is not one of the four bands.
Thank
going
God. Thank you, Lord.
On tour. But the other three are, and we're in town together rehearsing for this tour coming up in February, which, by the way, you can find dates for, I know for me, at thegungermusic.com/tour.
Yeah, prophiphop.com.
Thebrilliancemusic.com/tour.
It's all there, man.
It's all there. But we're in town. It's called the End of the World Tour. And so while we were here, we thought, hey, it'd be fun to get everybody together and talk on the podcast because there's a lot of brilliant creative minds around this table. I think we could have some fun conversation about art, about music, about creating, but also, are we going to get into the end of the world stuff? I don't know. We could see.
I've been curious why y'all named it.
We'll see how it goes.
See how it goes.
Yeah, I've been curious why you named it. I just kind of pulled into it. I had no idea where it comes from. So I'm very curious.
Well, I can start that conversation.
It's David, by the way. So if you think
so
it's my voice,
it's yes,
not.
We have a similar timbre of voice. I think I might, you have a little bit more mids while I sound a little
bassier,
little bassier, higher. I don't know. I feel like you have a better talking voice. Every time I listen back to mine, it kind of reminds me of Ed Gunger and it makes me shriek a little. My dad has a real high voice. When he answers the phone, they think it's a woman most of the time.
For the record, your parents are phenomenal.
They anyway, are. My dad is phenomenal. If he answers the phone, he goes, hello.
And we'll Gail is
low.
An octave lower than
hello.
Ed.
I just want to put a pause here and just to acknowledge for anybody that might be a person of color listening to this show, y'all notice how they refer to their parents by their first name.
Yeah, it's tripping me out, bro.
That's like, not that's, something that's, that...
That's,
They've been doing that. Something that happens in
no,
our culture.
No, you don't do that, bro. We don't do that.
This is good. See, now that's
I'm so,
good.
I'm so glad you're here, Prop. Thank you.
I was just like,
so, Terrence, can we just pause on this?
Let's not pause on this. Yeah. I just want to talk to y'all about the pit in my stomach.
Yeah.
When you referred to your
smacked.
Mama
as Gail.
As Gail.
I talked to Gail.
I was like, yo.
That's deep.
Yo, listen. How long have I called Mom Gail? How long have I done it?
Probably when
years,
you were 16.
Since I think I was like 15 or 16 years old.
I was 1 year off.
And I knew the
Probably
reason
nine,
was.
I went to Ruth instead of Mom.
Really?
What, yeah. What is going on with you?
What? What did I tell you? Personal. Okay? It's not our culture, Terrence.
Bro, that's not cool.
There are things we don't understand.
I don't do that. I do not do that.
Man, I would have got smacked. My mama wouldn't even say anything.
I will tell you once.
I would have got smacked by my parents.
Yes.
I absolutely would have.
I'll tell you one time. One time.
You ain't got to tell one. It just,
you already know. Everybody else know the story.
Yeah.
But, you know, you young, you call him up. Mom, mama, mom. Now as a parent, I understand what's happening. Like, I'm ignoring you on purpose. It's just, you going to wait your turn, right? I don't know that. Not when you're a child. Mom, I know you hear me. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in my head. I know you hear me. Mom, mother, mom, Janice.
Oh,
she showed up out of nowhere.
Story done.
You were looking at her. She came from behind you and popped you in the head.
I don't know how you did that.
That's exactly
what
happened.
Physics don't work.
No, it doesn't work, man. You don't do that shit.
Just everything stopped. It was almost like outside went dark.
Yeah, bro.
Like,
it's different from a concussion.
It was almost like my neighbors peeked in the window, like. Ooh.
Yeah, man.
Bruh.
But they've been doing that for as long as I've known
them. It's a term of endearment.
Boy, please. Boy, please. My mama said, you better be endearment. My mother, Dad, you better say, I'm your mother. You know, that ain't endearing.
That's the laugh. Oh, it's endearment?
It's endearment. You going to endear me.
See?
Endearment. You're about to be in danger.
I like that. I like that. See, I like that.
Who told y'all that idea?
So let me tell you why. Let me tell you what this is. I mean, I'm not trying to get.
My mom, like, wanted to be called Ruth.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is it, to explain this? Give me science, Mike. Please break this down. I know I won't ever understand it, but
my mom,
I think,
didn't,
you can
like
tell
it.
Me.
My mom still doesn't like
it. Well, I think for parents that choose it, it started. That hasn't always been a white culture thing. That started with boomers wanting to deny the aging process, I think. Not that my mom did, but I'm saying when a lot of her friends started having their children call them by their first name.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I had to at least say uncle or aunt to my parents' friends. Yeah. Like, even if that my parents' friends, their name, and I call them, I couldn't call them Mr. Like, I couldn't call them David. I would say,
you're 30.
Still now, friends that I've,
of
my parents, I'm 37. And I'm like, this is not even my uncle. He's a friend of my dad's. And I'd be like, hey, Uncle Carlton. I can't. I'm not going
to
call him Carlton.
To this day.
I still call him like Mr. Aunt and Mrs. Aunt.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But for mom and dad, I know mom loves it. She hates it. It's a joke because I've done it as a joke.
And then it just
since
kept going.
She was like 14, I was like, same type thing. But I was like, Gail. And it was like, you can't do that. And then I'd be like, oh. And then it was a joke. Yeah, and then as soon as it became Edda too, you know, everything is a joke. So we call her Gail out of like, it's so much love and funny
joke. That's great. That's a bad joke in my family.
Joke wouldn't fly. Anyway, end of the world.
End of the world. The brilliance, following suit from probably very much like Gunger, or probably in many ways like Prop. I don't want to speak for you because I'd actually like to ask these questions, not assume. But we were in a place a little over a year ago where we were deciding if we still wanted to make music as a band called The Brilliance. Mm-hmm. And we had wanted to make a record that was not for church or for Christian music or anything like that. We wanted to just make a record that kind of went beyond that type of language. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, John and I had decided, we had written some music, but we had decided that we were going to do a series of suites. Mm-hmm. And the first suite was for DACA Dreamers. And the second suite was really kind of dove into the idea of the hyperbole that you see on any side. Mm-hmm. That is like, it feels like right now is so tense. And that tension is like, are we at like no
time in human history before, mm-hmm. where you're like, oh my gosh, the world feels like at any moment. And on one end, like we can talk about this with DL. On one end, there's like technology and all kinds of things that can destroy us very quickly. And on another end, you look at human history and there's like a lot of hope and a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to make an album that reflected that tension.
That's dope.
And so we did that. We're going to release it this spring. And one of the cool things was we have been really inspired by both of you, but specifically like the liturgist a lot of times dives into large existential questions that I feel like many people who come out of my own world that I'm still in a lot of times, it asks these big questions and it deals with existential things. And yet liturgist is always very, I feel like, tender and gentle. Now that can sound a bit odd, but like that you face things bravely while being gentle with people. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that for us that we kind of made our mantra in making this music when we dove into social issues was not that we knew the answer to the social issues, but our idea was there's no idea that's above critique for that social issue. Meaning we're not going to be dogmatic about like, we're the ones who have the right answers. And if there's no one who's willing to talk about other things or be critiqued in there, they're just dogmatic. It's like mm-hmm. arguing with a suicide bomber. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. But there's no person that's below dignity, which means that's kind of our thing. And if your idea, if it can be critiqued, that's good. But if you take away someone's dignity, it's really hard to critique that. So we're going to be talking about social issues specifically that make you worry about, is this like, where are we at, for instance, with, we dove into the idea of dreamers and immigration. And that's something that is a hot topic issue, right? For me as a privileged person, it might not feel like that's an issue. That's an end of the world issue. But if you know anyone that's a dreamer or you know anyone that's an undocumented mm-hmm. immigrant, to them, this issue does feel like the end of their world or not. And a lot of times when you learn something, you are then held accountable or responsible for that. And so we want to make art that inspires empathy. And so my hope for this tour, especially an honor that you guys would even take the name, each one of us is going to have our own perspective for what it means for us. Like, is this the end of the world? We're all going to come at it from a different lens. But for us, what we hope is that the art that we create builds empathy to where like we see that hopefully it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
The reason that I liked the name, we had like a whole list of possibilities that we were looking at for the tour name. And what stood out about that one for me was, yeah, that very issue of how I think each of the three bands can subjectively come at it from a quite different place and a really important place for me in the way that I see the world and interact with things. Kind of twofold. I mean, I like talking about the big existential things like we talk about on the liturgist all the time, and politics, and where is all this headed, and are we headed towards the singularity, and is that going to take over? Is this the literal end of the world soon? But also on a spiritual level, the end of the world can happen at every moment. The world that you hold on to, the world that we construct moment to moment to give meaning to our experiences, that we cling to, that creates suffering in us. Letting go of that, letting go of the world entirely, can bring a freedom that is what I think all the great traditions are getting at, ultimately. I could think of how each band yeah. could kind of interact with it in an yeah. interesting way. Mm-hmm. What about you, yeah. Prop? What did you like
I
about
think
it?
There's, even what you guys are saying, or even adding to sort of how it washed over me, I think there's the part of just, as far as being part of the tour, both of you guys' technical ability to make music is just inspiring to me, even back to like the Beautiful Things days, like sitting in the audience going, oh no, wait, they're like playing. Like that's real music. Like they're playing music up there. You know what I'm saying? So it was like just knowing like I need to be a part of whatever they're doing. But I think when I think about like you said, these existential threats that we're facing and letting myself go off the cliff, I remind myself of the Mayans looking off the shore and seeing Cortez coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the end of the world, dog. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm going, when all of a sudden these Manifest Destiny posters start popping up, this is the end of the world, dude. Right. the first time I saw somebody wearing like an NWA t-shirt, like a white girl wearing an NWA t-shirt, you know what I'm saying? And then boutique stores pop. Somebody got an Airbnb in South Central Los Angeles on 64th in San Pedro. I'm like, that's where the Crips were born, you know? So like, I say that, I'm saying, I also say like gentrification, like in a lot of ways, it's so violent in its Columbus-like taking over. You understand what I'm saying? That it, again, it's an apocalypse. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is it. So I say all that to temper my, are we at the edge of this cliff, in the sense that we've been at the edge of a cliff, but something has to be reborn. Something has to be rebirthed. I know the material is deteriorating. So, I mean, like, I don't know if I could predict that. I don't know if there was any sort of, if I could really point at something that is multidimensional, exists in this divine sphere that poked into our finite world and said the end was at this moment. Like, fool, I don't know. But I know that things deteriorate. You know what I'm saying? So that part to me was something that was provocative, in the sense of like, I know I can be creative and come with a lot of sort of conceptual like ways to craft music. Like you said, like the death of moments, the death of experiences, the rebirth of new experiences, like made me be like, I'm digging this. And it's just so, the name is just so Gunger that I'm like, yeah, this, I have to be a part of this, right? I mean, I'm saying this to like, to the liturgy, to you guys and to the liturgist pod, because no one knows this, but like, I'm cooking my, and before I even knew you were going to name this, but I'm cooking my next album and my next like book, video series and all that, right? And the idea is essentially, it's called Terraform, right? And any sci-fi nerd would know what I mean. Like, you get to a planet's not livable. You have to make it livable. That's called terraforming. So it's making literal livable worlds, mm-hmm. right? So, what do we have to do that? Well, you have to examine the sky, the atmosphere, the soil, the people, and then the possibility, right? So this is how I'm hanging my next body of work, is the idea of making a livable world, rather than what if we don't land on Mars to make it biologically livable, but sociologically livable? Mm. What if the astronauts, the first explorers, were musicians, were artists, were architects? So we're creating a culture, right? How do you create culture? This is the nerd in prop. You create culture by creation myths. You tell stories. Mm. Stories shape identity. Stories make us, is why we see the world and how we see the world. And in a sense, there were the things that I can't write a thesis about, the things that I can't give you in bullet points, I have to show a story. There has to be, there's truth. Why we're still extracting truth from Star Wars. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, it's a good story. You know what I'm saying? So in my mind, how I make a livable world is I tell better creation myths. Right? Mm. As I tell better narratives, if I tell greater stories. So that's making a world. So if the tour that I do right before we launch this stuff is called The End of the World, right? It's because we're terraforming a new one. Mm. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what like the liturgists in a lot of ways, and the brilliance in a lot of ways. And I know for myself, this is something that I've always believed in. I'm going to give language to stuff that you feel like you kind of feel like you've been feeling, but you ain't got no words for that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's my music. Is like, I'm trying to go, oh, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. You're saying this. Oh, you know the words you're missing? Yeah, that's called racism. That's the word. You know what I'm saying? So like, let me help you shape this and then go, well, this is why it's ridiculous. Well, this is a better way to look at the person sitting next to you. You know what I'm saying? If you think of a better way to look at the person sitting next to you, we're just going to make a more livable world. Right? Mm-hmm. That's why it like resonated with me.
Some parts of the world need to end.
Is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the...
Yes!
You could say one of the myths that gives a lot of meaning would be the idea that just like always the cycle of life always comes from a place of death, like death and life, and just in and out. One of the things that I think has inspired us in the last year, and this has to do a lot with, once again, liturgists. So I'm blowing a lot. I feel like I'm blowing you guys a lot of smoke right now, but...
Down.
I got us toned down the liturgist love.
Uncomfortable person.
Yeah. No, but it,
I'm drinking it in.
Yeah, and Michael's drinking it in. Well, this has been for me. So I read this from Thomas Merton, and I thought of you guys, which was Thomas Merton talked about the future of spirituality. This was in the 60s. He talked about the future of spirituality was going to be where Zen met Christianity. And I felt like both of you came from a place of Christianity and in many ways have taught a lot of people who've come out of that lens. You've had experiences and mystical experiences and learned a lot and dove into meditation, certain things that you've embraced a lot of, I would say, Eastern thought that has somehow for many people in America who are coming from a Western Christianized place, like, oh, they see the future of that and there's something really beautiful and hopeful, even though for a lot of the Western mindset, it looks like a lot of death in certain ways. But the thing that has like inspired me for you guys and for my own journey has been learning about how with anything that within life, in the order, there has to be some chaos, and in the chaos, there has to be some order for there to be life and death. In the yin yang, there's like a little dot in the white of the opposite. And so for me, it's been really amazing as a like young artist or person that's grown up with Michael as a brother and grown up being able to have relationships with dear friends and artists, seeing somehow your guys' journey of going like, okay, at times it looked deconstructive. And now to me, it looks very, actually you're in like this really beautiful season of growth and like this type of vegetation that's really beautiful. And I hope that for this whole thing, there's moments of us being able to all from our own perspective kind of just be. And that's that thing where I'd be like, okay, in the midst of this, we're here together. And so what I'm really excited about is even though we're three separate bands, is we're all like making music together and we're having a night that's not just like about our own egos as a band, but somehow we're like coming together from our place and we're going to let there's a lot of chaos, you know, there's a lot of chaos, but we got to get some order to that chaos. And there's also going to be a lot of order and there's got to be enough chaos within that. And I just hope that it's like something that when people come and experience, there's room for so many people to come in and just be and sing with us and listen and be inspired. And it's hard for me because John's not here right now. But I'm like so freaking excited to have Terrence back and to have some times within a set to where it's not just, I don't know. It feels like sometimes you go on tour with bands and you try to do your best and you're like trying to stick out. And I feel like for a night like this, I don't feel any pressure to be anything that I'm not. Mm. Yeah. So for a night like this, that's where I'm like, man, how do we best serve each other and love one another? And that sounds like really odd, but like, how do I best serve Props music? How do I best serve Gunger's music? How do we tell this story together and each give each other that room? And so that's what I'm excited about creating in this week.
Yeah. Well, something came to mind just now listening to y'all because, of course, I'm just a drummer. You know what I mean? I'm a friend. I've been a fan of all of you all individually for years. And just something came to mind. I just wrote down because all of you all have like this different like energy and spirit that I see has evolved. So here we go. I'll read it. Like Propaganda to me, you represent like the actual awareness and education from and for the people. Hmm. Like it's like the street, you know, it's like coming from the people. Like you're yelling out into the world, hey, this is what we're feeling. This is what we're thinking. As at the same time, you're educating the same people who should know and don't know, right? Gunger is like the actual awareness and the questioning of the individual mind, you know, like always wondering, what is this and how is this working and how should I feel and what should I think and questioning everything, but also like coming to a synergy of self and just dealing with self, right? And then the brilliance to me is like this actual awareness of empathy for other people, for the world, like looking outward. So like all these pieces come together to be like this. What is it called? Like when you're dealing with like Buddhism and the chakras, right? You have all these different things that line up. I feel like all three of you all's energy lines up in a way that is so relevant beyond just music, but like the way you all teach and talk and communicate as a friend and as a fan, like those are very, very powerful things that I think you all bring to the table. So to see all that put together in a show and in a tour is just brilliant. Like I'm a fan. I've always been a fan. So I'm excited to watch that. And, you know, I think it's amazing. So
thank you, Terrence.
Yeah, man. Old dreamer, teach us to dream.
So two things. First, about performance, I think, has changed for me. And so I'm really excited about this tour because there's been a lot of ego shedding for me over the past year. I mean, I've always enjoyed music. I've always enjoyed what happens with the audience, the energy that happens there. But there's just something different now. And like David was saying, what can happen when we're all together and we just breathe and we, like, we're preparing for this tour and we're going to have a plan, but then letting that plan breathe and just seeing what happens. I mean, it makes me think about like all of our, some of our charismatic days, you know, but that there's something beautiful to that. Like when you just give space to listen where things should go. And I think for me, I don't feel that any sort of pressure, performance pressure anymore, that I have to be a certain thing for someone. So that makes me experience the whole night in a different way. It helps me be able to listen instead of just plow forward or trying to perform. So yeah, to what both Terrence and David were saying about that, I'm excited about that. And just to reiterating what everyone already said about the name of the tour when we were talking about it. At first I liked it because I thought it was kind of shocking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, of course we're going to go with the End of the World Tour.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
But the idea of death and rebirth, I think that used to scare me for a while. The idea of the end of the world or the singularity or AI taking over. And this has probably been the first year for me that it doesn't scare me anymore. Michael and I were just talking about this. Had this experience in our backyard not long ago where I was like, I was looking into the sky and all of a sudden I felt the need to like turn over and just have my face towards the ground, towards mm-hmm. the earth. This sounds pretty weird, but I was like hugging the earth and was like, oh, you're gonna explode. You're going to, you need to. This is beautiful. Like this is
getting
not
real gunger in here, guys. But that's like, amazing though.
Like you need to do, this is a beautiful thing you it's need to do. Process. You're not mm-hmm. destroying us. You're birthing us mm-hmm. all in all of it. Yeah. The end of the world. Yes. You need to happen because that's the continuum.
That's deep. Ooh. I like it.
You know, the favorite thing that I learned in the last year is that someone made an earth sandwich by placing a bun. Like if you placed a bun right here.
Yeah.
And then they figured out with our modern technology where the exact opposite side of the earth is and put the bottom bun. And when you zoom, what I like about that is when you zoom back one click, it's the earth that did that. Like the earth made itself a sandwich.
Internet humor is Zay Frank.
So wait.
I'm with you.
I'm sober.
I know. I am. I'm not. And I tracked. But
I was going to sit here and act fake.
What is a sandwich?
Like, word.
A sandwich, two pieces of bread with a filling.
Yeah.
So and just the earth. Planet
I got
Earth
it.
Is
I'm
the
with
filling.
You.
That's
yeah.
it.
Click out and you're the earth sandwich.
But the earth made itself a sandwich. Like it evolved to the place.
Yeah.
Where it made itself. The sandwich.
I wish this was not radio right now because Prop's face is gold.
So,
can I do a little translation right now?
I'm not done.
Okay, no,
sorry.
Not done.
It's not done.
Let him finish.
Sorry.
I want him to finish because
I need
preach,
him to finish.
Maybe this gear
Michael.
Will click in and I'm like,
come
oh my
on,
God, that's beautiful.
Preach. Preach.
So it did that. But when you think about the end of the world and you think about these things that concern all of us, one click out, we can't do anything to the world.
Yes. Amen.
So we're like in the flow of what's happening with these giant seismic cosmological billions of years of movement of this giant ocean. And we're like in this little eddy of a tiny wave going like,
yeah.
Oh no, it's the end of the world. And we're super worried.
Yes. Yes.
You can't do anything
about it. So our premise.
Okay, I'll ride with that. That makes perfect sense. The earth sandwich.
I want to be
still trying to figure out who the bun is. Where. I have the idea of the earth getting up, going to the kitchen, and making a sandwich. So, like, the ambiguous the ambiguous thing, the earth made itself a sandwich. And then, no, seriously, the earth made itself a sandwich.
The earth made itself into a sandwich.
So,
into a sandwich.
Here,
yeah. That's right. I really like it. So
it's like if I went to the, if I was like, I want a sandwich, and I walked to the refrigerator, and I got a piece of bread, and I stood on it, and then put another one on my head.
Or if you could create bread from your own skin.
Oh, my God. Okay. See, that's
what
I'm
trying to figure out. Like, where did we get to that? Why so, did
no, no, no.
Okay, can
see,
I go back to his point, though?
So but I'm just trying to, this is why you are in the, he's the mind.
Okay.
Michael, so, he's just in his mind.
So, Michael. So, let me try to track with that idea of Earth Sandwich, but back into like, I love the idea that on one end, even if we're like, this is the end of the world, our egos, like the world is bigger than our ego in the sense of like, if I die, the world keeps spinning. And no matter what, even humanity, if humanity all goes to hell in a handbasket, like, guess what? Earth is still here. Even when Earth dies, like the universe keeps going. However, like in that letting go of just being like, oh man, I'm not that important. Somehow when you get to the end of it and you're like, yeah, but we're all a part of this universe. We're all a part of this thing. There's something that happens again where you're like, I am the universe. I get back to this place of going, I am something. I get another sense of ego or, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, I have a sense of self again,
distinction,
which I go back to this place of being like, yeah, my distinction though is birthed out of like, we all are a part of the universe instead of just my world. Because my world may need to die. It might need to be the thing where you're like, I can totally see if in a certain sense of, I think when you realize that like the world is bigger than you or your own little world, there's a certain ego death that happens. And there's a certain sense of like humility that has to happen. But then out of that humility, somehow you see the kindness or the gentleness of the universe that then once again bursts life as gift. And you're like, oh my gosh, even if this is the end of the world, I'm so excited that we got to live. Like it's Lisa hugging the earth again. I'm back to like, I got to be at this time where I had life. Life is only gift.
And
then I'm coming from appreciation, gift. And guess what? Then when I look at the end of the world, I look at it with hope and I start going, yeah, but from this gift, can't we create and can't there be beautiful things or can't there be? And that's where I get like, I'm back to that. Even though Michael said the Earth sandwich getting there existentially, I understand it. I'm getting there. It's a little bit weird. That sandwich might be like, it's a little bit
odd. I still don't get the connection.
But I will say. I love it. I'm going to eat. I guess for me, it's like, I'm going to eat that sandwich, man.
Yeah. I will say, yeah, the beauty of like hugging the planet and understanding that like, yo.
It's awe and wonder.
It's alive.
This is what it is.
And it has to do
what we all
what it needs
do.
To do.
What we
it's
all will
beautiful
do.
Beautiful in the same way that we all need to do. Like, I am of the belief that like sky and soil is yelling at you all the time. Like, just take a second. Mm. There's actually a new poetry piece that like I'm going to have just for this tour that's like kind of around that, right?
Yeah.
So you have to buy tickets because
so,
it's going to be
available. So Michael
but
uses...
we'll say... I'm sorry, dude.
No, Michael
I'm
uses...
I'm going to stop cutting you off from
I'm
cutting
stop
me off.
That. Yeah, I'm going to cut...
Can I keep throwing the shade? I'm just kidding.
So Michael uses the Earth sandwich.
He still does it.
So Michael uses the Earth sandwich. I don't know, still do it. Michael uses the Earth sandwich.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You use sky and earth, right? Which is not so weird at all. But some people could be like, wait, what is that like? A certain type of like, I don't know, you get freaked out by this. Both deal with wonder like crazy. And this is my one question for you, Prop, because I really want to dive into this. Michael posted like on social media, this tour with Prop, this. No grief at all about Prop or Brilliance. Mm-hmm. You post and you do get some grief about
Gunger.
Sorry, yeah. Prop.
Don't be sorry.
So my question is,
really?
I mean, you
got grief, bro?
He did.
But this is my question.
He obviously got there from Earth Sandwich, which is odd, and sometimes he uses his own language.
I don't know what he got to, though, is my point.
Did he get to wonder? That's my point. He got to wonder.
Okay.
And you got to wonder through Earth and Sky.
Okay. Now, what that got to do with somebody not wanting me to...
I guess the Christian piece for me.
Okay.
Like the atonement piece. That's why I want to... Like, do you feel like people want to hear that from you about wonder only? Do you get boxed in like that? Because Brilliance got boxed in like that, and we kind of got out of that. Now, I can get out of that kind of safely because I still I still work at a church, right? Yeah. I still do that. So John doesn't at all, and he's out of that faith. But you'd be like, that's where I'm wondering, like, I'm pushing a button there a little bit. But I'm like,
no, it's like, there's, I mean, there's always like the, you know, the association piece of just the type of thinking that would believe that, like, if you sit next to somebody, you've wholeheartedly ingested everything that that person said. And it's like, for the better or for worse, you feel me? Like, in the same way that, like, maybe there's somebody that I may be on, at an event with a person they think is safe. You feel me? That's like still plays in the lines, if you will. And I'm at the event, but like, I think that guy's full of crap. You understand what I'm saying? I think he's full of shit. I mean, I just, like, some things he says, but overall, we're really on different paths right now. I have personally reached a place to where I just don't need that type of association with a person. Like, I don't have to love or hate what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the sense of, like, you said, the singularity of personhood and stuff like that. Like, the Gungers are my friends. My friends. I don't, you know what I mean? So that's one thing. The other thing is I have a very, like, hard and fast rule that I've had to learn about my public persona is that my words will be weaponized, and I never want them to be weaponized against friends, no matter what they, no matter where they stand. You understand what I'm saying? In the sense that, like, perfect example is, like, so you have somebody like one of my closest friends in Jay Givens, who's openly gay. And then you have another good friend who's named Jackie Hill Perry, who was once a lesbian and now is out of that life, wrote a book about it, and is just on the total end of the spectrum of this sort of concept. Now, where I stand, I'm like, that's not the point. Don't use my words to either tear down Jay and build up Jackie, or tear down Jackie and build up Jay, because they're my friends. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm like, so in that sense, it's not so much that I don't have a position. It's just, I'm not going to give you ammo. You understand what I mean? So, because what's more important to me are my friends than whether you have a comfortability, whether you comfortable with where I stand on stuff. What's more important to me is my friends. Right. Now, as far as, like you said, like, speaking about sort of the wonder in terms of the atonement, I personally feel like I came into Christendom, if you will, or CCM, if you will, like, just Christian as an industry. I came in not having any idea it existed in the first place. You know, wasn't pursuing it.
Same.
Didn't know it was there.
Yeah. It was just, you just do what you do.
You had, like, so you're in California. Yeah. We didn't.
Nobody talks about Christians.
It wasn't here. You understand what I'm saying? So I didn't know that. I didn't know any of this. I didn't know who to be impressed with. Right, I didn't know. Right. I didn't know none of the rules. I didn't know none of that. You understand what I'm saying? In a funny way, like, when I first stepped into Nashville and I was like, oh my God, like, there's like a cross on the wall. It's so cool. Like, you guys can be Christians here? That's crazy. You're just old, like, everybody goes to church here? It's crazy. Right? Because I just didn't come from that. Right? So anyway, so I feel like, first of all, I came in as an outsider already, right? And then my introduction to the broadest sense of Christendom was a poem I did called Precious Puritans, which I essentially called them slave owners.
Unbelievable, right? Song.
So, yeah, thank you. So, like, but that was my introduction. So it was almost like I came in already like, oh, I'm not. It's like, oh, I live here. I'm just not from here. I'm not from this. Right. I just happen to live here. You understand what I'm saying? So it was almost like from day one, I'm not going to be on the radio. I'm not going to be on any of the bigger, like, festivals. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, I already knew out the box. I was always going to be a fringe. So with that sense, since I was never a darling, you understand what I'm saying? Like, y'all were like, they loved y'all.
They're the ones that got you got. I laugh because Brilliance gets no grief like that, except for like maybe political stuff. But they don't get ever mad at us about changing anything because we didn't have that kind of success.
Yeah, we were never like, I was never. But that's really what I
was diving into. By, like,
so because of that, I've had a lot of now. At the same time, nobody wants to hear me say, you know what I'm saying? Well, I think penal substitutionary atonement's just not in the Bible at all. Like, nobody wants to hear me say that. You know what I'm saying? But if you asking me about the atonement, like, you know what I'm saying?
They want to hear him say that.
They want to hear him say that.
They didn't used to.
Yeah.
Now they do.
I am of the belief that like the atonement's a multifaceted diamond, and there's so many motifs, and there's so many examples of somebody trying to explain something that your receptors aren't built to understand. So because of that, you know what I'm saying, I got to give you examples that are going to fall apart in some ways because you don't even have the capacity to understand what I'm saying in the first place. That a divine, you have to throw away every understanding of identity, placement, person. You have to throw all that away. You telling me that in one sentence, you going to understand how that thing redeems and what the hell you mean by redeem in the first place. What I'm talking about is saying, like, yo, it's lofty. It's above me.
Yeah.
So does the atonement work like this? Bitch, maybe. And you know what I'm saying? Don't work like that. I don't know, maybe.
And
you know what I'm saying?
If we did commercials for the podcast, yeah, that
was a good.
Put that to tape. Just right now.
And I'd be like, I wasn't asking that from like a, I'm so glad that you answered that way, but I wasn't asking that from like you personally.
No,
an artist.
Yeah, so as an artist.
Because I know you dive into more and more. Like what's funny is you dive into stuff in a much more raw in your face.
Yeah, that's what
if they
want
listen
from
to
me.
The lyrics. Like I'm like, are they listening to this right now? Like the Puritans thing is like that's real.
Yeah,
and that's where I'm like, oh, when you get pushback like that, do you feel it? Do you care? How do you address it? And I feel like you addressed it.
What was funny about specifically the Puritans thing was like other thinkers, like in the safe house thinkers, were writing like blog pieces about like, no, he's correct. Like so I didn't even have to like defend that one. It's like they're like, that's historically accurate. And I've actually been sitting over here wondering why nobody's pointing at it in the first place. I'm glad the artist finally did. Right. So in that sense, I like dodged it. But either way, it was like at the time I had to explain to them that like, well, no, that's a poem. Like they were still calling them raps. I was like, no, this is a poetry piece, a spoken word. Like, do you understand the genre? Like, you know, but then if somebody said, well, you spent too much time talking about how the Puritans were, when I was like, well, that's not even the point of the song. The point of the song is like, we're all crooked sticks. We're all, we pick our poison. You know, you're just as evil as they are, but low key, like stop worshiping them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm trying to explain, they were like, well, you spent 90% of the song talking about the Puritans, but you only talked about yourself for 1%. I'm like, well, are you familiar with poetry? Like, yeah. So there was such a like.
The trigger, people get triggered.
They're just triggered.
Anything.
So I say all that to say, I get pushback, right? But it's like, you knew what you were getting. I never switched on nobody. Like, you knew what you was getting in the first place. I'm going to talk about white supremacy. I'm going to talk about misogyny. I'm going to talk about patriarchy. I'm going to talk about prison industrial complex. I'm going to talk about socialism. I'm going to talk about, like, I'm going to talk about all these things already. So, stupid you, don't stream the record. Like, what are you upset about? Like, yeah. I'm not on your radio. I'm not booked on your festivals. What are you mad at me about? Like, you had to go out of your way to hear my stuff. You know what I'm saying? Oops.
It's not for you.
It's not. It's fine. And if it is, if you peek into my world and you see it, I'm elated. I'm ecstatic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe in Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to tell you, dog. Like, I'm not a Republican. You know what I'm saying? At all.
I do like having Prop on our podcast specifically so he can be the most theologically conservative and Christian voice in the room.
No, oh my gosh. No other environment.
Isn't that funny? Everywhere. That is true right now. That is so, that's really good.
So
I like
true.
That.
Just like, I'm like,
you can
Christianity.
Say, you
yes.
Can say, you can be like, we've had a conservative on our pod.
We had a man who believed
about?
That Jesus was a literal person that resurrected from the dead. Yeah.
We totally did that. We totally had one.
Yes. That time.
If I represent y'all's conservative voice, boy.
I know.
We had Jennifer Knapp on recently, and there was a similar comment. She's like,
I'm not usually the one defending any degree of
not usually the one defending a literal Jesus.
You know, I'm a bit real strange place. There was no politically
Jennifer
conservative
Knapp
voice.
Is the conservative voice. You're on the Liturgist podcast.
You're on the Liturgist podcast. You're with the Liturgist. When propaganda is the most closed-minded.
No. You're with the Liturgist. No.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, Earth Sandwich, baby.
It's an Earth Sandwich.
Earth Sandwich.
It's a good joke.
And that's
sure
another t-shirt. It's an Earth Sandwich.
It's an Earth Sandwich. Make an Earth that's sandwich. What this episode should be called, Earth Sandwich.
The Earth Sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most valuable thing I learned all year.
Who did you learn it from? Or did you, were you just like
humorist Zay Frank?
Anyway. Oh, so it is a joke.
No, it's a project.
It's a project.
It's
I mean,
real,
think
bro.
Of what it would take. Think is about it, what that would take to back. To yeah. find the exact
back there.
Place back. where the other side of the earth is and get a bun there right now.
And then take a picture and make sure the buns are at the same time.
Terrence, they're back on it.
They're back on it.
They're back on it.
I feel like we need to do play by play right now. Science Mike.
I'm actually jiving with that. It's the part that the earth itself made it.
Yeah.
And that was some sort of existential revelation that you got. Is the part that I'm like, what?
Well, but we're white people. So we're constantly fighting the state of division and separateness. So like, I think even with the amount of like soul work or existential work that Michael's done, like the natural operative tendency, at least for me, I can say, is to view myself as something separate from the world. It's part of it's baked in from when I was a little kid. You're in the world, but not of it.
Yeah.
So anytime you talk world, it's going to have some theological undertone for my brain from conditioning. Mm-hmm. But two, the frame I carry is that there's this natural world. There's these animals and plants and things, and then there's me, mm-hmm. a person above and separate from the whole ordeal. Yeah. So at least for me, that's why there are sandwiches like, oh, that's a really important reminder. I'm actually part of the earth. Like, there's not a single quantum element. That's not true. There's not a single atom in my body that is not of the earth. Mm-hmm. There's oceans of quantum.
Yeah,
bits in
so yeah, there's a lot of them. Good. That's a beautiful idea. I just still don't know how you got there. The endless world of you and me. You are beginning. You are beginning. You are beginning. You are beginning. I am the branches. I am the branches. I am the branches. I am the branches. You are the ocean. You are the ocean.
I did this big trip of psilocybin for a study at NYU. And while I was like super tripping in this place, I had that Michael Vishnu was in the room with me. He was one of my doctors. My brother Rob was the other doctor. And I was having this crazy, like most intense, like spiritual experience and doing these things. And then what I learned was, and I was like, write this down. I had to write it down. It's so stupid. Write this down. I might forget it. But I was like, if my spirituality isn't playful, it isn't real. It isn't real.
That's good.
I know. But like, I laugh because right when you say, oh, earth sandwich, and you're like laughing, I'm trying to think of a time where with you two, you don't have like moments of laughter when they're like the most profound things.
That's
like
direct...
when you do it, like it's straight laughter all the time. And I'm like, earth sandwich. I'm like, it is really profound. And I'm having this like moment over here, like, man, it always fucking happens. And it's like, earth fucking sandwich. And I got it again. And I was like, man, it came at me again. Oh, if it's not joyful, it's not real. Write this down.
You want to hear
that's why y'all need white friends, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, now
I'm dead serious,
man. Y'all gotta diversify here, man.
I'm saying it's helping. It's helping me.
It's helping me too. I'm just sitting here. I ain't saying shit. I'm just like, okay, I ain't gonna tell you if I get it or don't. I'm just like, cool. That's cool. I'll figure it out later. You know what I mean? Like.
That's it's cool. Like we have to totally redo like the branding of the tour now. Yeah. It's like an earth sandwich.
Could be a special tour t-shirt.
It would.
It'd be deep cut. Yes. It'd have to be very deep cut. Like we don't have it displayed, but they just come up and they're like, can I get an earth sandwich? And if they say
under
that,
the table
we
order?
Have a shirt that's just for them.
Like
a Like, so you don't get the shirt unless you come up to the thing and be like, I'd like a sandwich.
It's like the, it's like the secret menu at In-N-Out.
Well, also, you have to, because if you don't, then the Liturgist listeners will make the shirt and bring
it.
Let's do it. They're just for Liturgists. Look, t-shirts are $30. You come up, you'd be like, Earth sandwich.
Boom.
It's not displayed.
It's not displayed. And the price isn't talked about. Because I don't want someone to be like, wait, how much was that? You just like,
no, you should know.
Earth sandwich. You know how much it is.
If there are any questions, you don't get the shirt.
I actually want that t-shirt, so I will go, I will pre-order it now.
Okay.
You got to get it on tour.
Gotta get it on tour. We'll be in LA.
We're doing LA.
Oh, I'll do that.
That's actually really brilliant.
I can get you one. I can hook you up.
I'll buy it. Nobody's hooking me up. I'll buy the shirt.
You see how they just capitalize on that moment?
Real friends.
That's good stuff right there.
Hey, man.
I'm about making money. You're stacking that cash, bro. I'm all about that.
Make that money, dog.
Make that money.
This is TF Paper Stacks.
Yes, sir.
A.K.A. Louis Rich. Like the turkey, baby.
Allow me a second to deal with some in-house issues here. Hey, Pastor, you know it's hard for me when you quote Puritans. Oh, the precious Puritans. Have you not noticed our facial expressions? One of bewilderment and heartbreak, like not you too, Pastor. You know they were chaplains on slave ships, right? Would you quote Columbus to Cherokees? Would you quote Cortez to Aztecs, even if their theology was good? It just sings of blind privilege, wouldn't you agree? Your precious Puritans. They looked my onyx and bronze skin forefathers in their face. Their polytheistic, God-hating face. Their shackled, diseased, imprisoned face. And taught a gospel that said that God had multiple images in mind when he created us in it. Therefore, destined salvation contains a contentment in the states for which they were given, which is to be owned by your forefathers' superior image-bearing face, says your precious Puritans. And my anger towards this teaching screams of an immature doctrine and a misunderstanding of the gospel. I should be content in this stage, right? Isn't that what Paul taught? According to your precious Puritans. Oh, you get it, but you don't get it. Oh, that we can go back to an America that once were founded on Christian values. They don't build preachers like they used to. Oh, the richness of their revelation. It must be nice to not have to consider race. It must be nice to have time to contemplate the stars. Pastor, your colorless rhetoric is a cop-out. You see my skin, and I see yours, and they are beautiful.
Honestly, when I first heard the name, I was like, y'all really have lost hope, man.
I have.
I know you have. I'm with you, though, bro. But I was like, man, this is...
This is why it's good. Because we could say, this is each perspective. You're like, man, you've lost hope. And you'd be like, John, have you lost hope?
That means something different to you.
Yeah, yeah. But hope is relative to me. I'm like...
Everyone has a different perspective on what that means. Yeah.
I was just excited because I was like, man, I'm with you, Mike.
No, he's not... Not to put words in it. He's not coming at it from a negative.
No, me either. I'm okay with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely okay with it. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Hope is overrated.
Yes. Come on.
What?
Look, man.
We used to be
so polar opposite. I used to be like, what the fuck are you talking about, Mike? You are wrong. What are you talking about? You're crazy.
Hope
and now I'm like,
overrated.
Yeah, bro.
What?
Yeah, this is great.
This is where our conversation is going.
Hope for something other than this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, that's where I'm going. Like, let's dive into that a little bit.
Okay.
Hope for something other than this.
Then what is?
On one level.
Then what is here? Then
you need hope to live.
Get the fuck out of bed.
Yeah, it's true. But then it can become a vision for what you think your life should be, what the world should be, for God to save everything, make everything like you want it to be. Mm-hmm. In a way that can get your eyes off. I used to live in a way that so searching for hope, so wanting what is going to happen. Is there a God to make something work, to make the world different than it is, that you can lose sight of what's right in front of your face?
Mm-hmm.
Word.
There we go, bro. See, I'm bro.
Okay. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping in? You know,
we didn't know how to say. We know like, which one are you gonna do? The dap or the?
That's a white guy and a black guy trying to shake hands. Wow.
We just a handshake.
Yeah, it was just a handshake. Bro.
Just a business meeting.
Yeah,
handshake.
Business meeting.
Man, that was a great point. Business meeting shake.
Yes.
Let's shake on that
dog.
Hey, put it on there.
Business meeting shake.
Yes. David Gunger, sales.
That's exactly it. Jason Petty, accounting.
Middle management. I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you 100%, bro. I am.
Yeah, that's a totally different, well, not totally different, but it is.
It's great,
totally different than just
you.
Like, you know, hope's overrated. But it sounds like what you're saying is,
you talk
hoping
like
in hope is ridiculous. Whenever, I don't need to paraphrase what you just said. The point is, what you are getting to, I feel like, is less jolting and like gutturally like privileged than like the first statement just felt like
yes.
deeply privileged. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then,
yes.
But then as you started like going into it, I was like, actually, that's a beautiful sentence.
But it's also like just a direct way of saying it still works. You know, once you understand, it's kind of like drawing you in. If you want to really understand what he's saying or what someone thinks like that, it's like, are you going to just stay where the statement was left? Or are you going to actually like be bold enough to go in to listen to the explanation?
Yeah.
And so like you listen to the explanation, like, oh, yeah, OK, yeah, I get that. And I know him now. I the language is like, I get it before he even explained. I'm like, yeah, I get it, bro.
I know where you're going with this
one. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well,
going to no, I'm
really texting, you know. Prop, you were texting me about some people that got mad at you for being associated with us or whatever. But you were saying, yeah, I don't even agree with Alma about everything or something. Yeah. You said, and I was like, I don't even agree with myself.
Yeah, that was the best answer. And that's, so that's like, it's like the comment section, you can never get to the really the higher discussion.
Yeah,
it's really silly. In a comment question. It's, you understand what I'm saying? But ultimately, that's the point I'm trying to make is just like, the point that they might be making is they have this grasp on certainty, and that somehow the fixed North Star that you among every other iteration of human has been trying to attain, somehow you got it, right? And if you're not at that point, the rest of them is off. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know what I thought what I thought my North Star was a year ago? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then 5 years before that. So like the bigger thing is the wonder you're talking about, what we would try to get to. What I would love to like push back on the guy is to just say like, okay, hear your own inconsistencies and understand that like what you said, like, bro, you don't even understand what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what you think. You know what I'm saying? So everybody just relax.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let's get out of people's comment sections.
Yeah, like what part of your brain or body are you talking about in what time frame that believe, like at any given moment?
At any given moment, yeah.
There's different parts of your body that are feeling different ways. There's your different hemispheres of your brain, the different brain structures. Mike needs a mic right now.
Yeah.
This is like his whole world, but...
Yeah.
So just like, I had somebody else comment like, and it's like, I'm not a fan of like just riffing on that because these people follow me like... So, which is you could follow whoever you want. Thank you. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not in the business of like dissing my supporters, you know, but I put a picture of like a bookshelf and just talked about just the different books that I have on my shelf. And somebody asked, well, where's the solid theology? Mm. And my question is, and I was like, well, okay, solid to who? You know, so what I'm trying to get to is like,
it's so crazy.
How do I say to you
the stuff y'all deal with?
Yeah,
bro,
it's like, how do I say to you, and I'm like, solid according to who? And I was just like, I have an Eastern Orthodox book. I have a St. Thomas Aquinas book. You know what I'm saying? And these are both of these people don't think each other are solid. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm like, solid to who? You know? And to which that person's response was like, well, solid according to scripture.
Yeah.
And then, so I want to get to the place to where I'm just like, yeah, that's what both of them are saying. So like, I like ultimately you, anybody listening to this has already thought this through is to be like, no, what this guy is trying to say is, where's the Gospel Coalition books? Like, these are the guys we've all agreed are safe to read from.
And they're all guys.
You understand what I'm saying?
White guys.
Some sort of shade of beige-ish white. You feel me? Yeah, to get to be the purveyors of all things solid. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, ultimately, like, how do you... Where do you start with a person to go, hey, man, like, you don't even know what you mean when you say that. You know what I'm saying? Without, which I strongly believe, again, like earlier about like weaponizing my words. I say this without degrading him. You understand what I'm saying? Or degrading his place of understanding and development as to put myself in some sort of highly evolved, like I'm in a more evolved position than him. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm not where you are. Like, I stopped using those terms because I know how they washed over me. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, it's just books, fam. Like, it's just books. Like, I'm just reading books, dude.
They're just words.
It's just words. Like, I can't read about it. Like, yeah. What is that? It's just books, bro. Like, you know, anyway.
I'm just grateful that I'm able to sit at this table with all of you from different places and still find ways to relate and find common ground and laugh and have joy in this. And I feel like that's what people are missing. Everybody wants to just fight.
Yeah.
And like argue and like, but my point is this and my point is that. And it's like, man, if we just like listen to each other and come together on even like the most basic things, I think we'd be okay. But that's still like dreaming. That's hopeful, right? Like it's, you know.
But if anything's up to the task, music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's where music for me is a language. When you say that, it resonates a lot with me, is that one, like historically speaking, an uptick in Germany, like Nazi Germany, a huge thing that was going on at that time, like there's a huge uptick in nihilism. Mm-hmm. And when people are seeing all this crap happen, they're like, it's inevitable. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And I see school shootings now. And we still as a society are now getting to the point where it's like, it's inevitable. What can we do? Right? And there has to be someone that goes like, enough is enough. And I call that hope, like hopeful resistance.
Yeah.
And so when I see that, especially from the only way that you learn about that or do that are people who are actually suffering. Those who suffer are those who lead.
Yes.
And so you have to listen to the voice of the suffering. And then you have to let them lead. And then from that place of be like, that's where hope is birthed.
Yeah.
So I don't mean a hope as in like, oh, you know, some like escapism hope or anything like that. Yeah. I'm saying though, but from like the ground up, even in the midst of our political tension right now, my hope for this tour is that like, we don't just make it about this side's right, this side's wrong.
Right.
Totally.
This song is beliefism or this side is like, oh, they're not there yet. Like some type of.
Yeah.
Like, we know what is the hope or future right now. Right. No, like, what we know is the embodiment of love and listening and being together, and we're doing this together.
That's good, bro.
And that's, like, that's the birth of this.
That's a good wrap-up, man.
Yeah. I love how different the perspectives of everybody at this table are.
Yeah.
And, like, if you were going to put this tour on paper and say these individuals with these different perspectives and call it the end of the world tour, a lot of people would be like, that's not a good idea. But I love it. I think the tension can create harmony. That's what harmony is. Tension is not this, if it's just a uniform thing, it's a sine wave or whatever. Yeah. It's just
there's tension in the middle of your earth you were talking about earlier, like it's
the sandwich.
So
I'm excited to be on the road with you guys, and I think the liturgists are some folks who appreciate tension as well and harmonization. And so come out. We do invite you to come out, sing with us, imbibe the tension, and we'll make
hit them with a little bit of salt.
And don't forget about that Earth Sandwich t-shirt.
Yeah. Feed the children.
Yeah. Earth Sandwich, man. Steve.
Earth Sandwich.
It's the best.
Love y'all.
Love you, bro. This is good.
Well, hope to see you all soon on the road. Again, you can get your tickets at gungermusic.com/tour. Like to thank Greg Nordine for handling the chaos of the audio on this one. Remember to check out Propaganda and Alma's podcast, the Red Couch podcast, as well as The Brilliance, their podcast. And I actually just started a new podcast as well called This with Michael Gunger. And you can check all those out on the iTunes store or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks to our patrons, as always, for making this work possible. Thanks for listening, everybody.